ABC Radio Australia.
Fiji's top health official has acknowledged they may need to introduce stricter lockdowns after announcing the country's recorded 5 new COVID-19 cases. They're most concerned about a woman who they believe worked in a garment factory when she may have been contagious. Contact tracing teams have worked overnight to track her possible contacts, but Fiji's permanent Secretary of Health, Dr. James Fong, says they're also worried about a case that's appeared in the north of Viti Levu that they haven't yet been able to link to the current cluster.
Investigations are ongoing while this individual has been entered into quarantine. We are quite sure there are others like him out there. Anyone who is feeling unwell anywhere in Fiji should report immediately to a screening.
Meanwhile, the leader of the opposition National Federation Party in Fiji, Biman Prasad, says the government needs to do more to help the poor. He told Liam Fox that people are struggling under the strict lockdowns in the capital Suva, Nandi and La Toka.
A lot of them is about not having any income. A lot of them are talking about unavailability of food. Many of them are talking about lack of medicine, especially the sick and the elderly. And so a lot of them need assistance. I've been talking to some of the NGOs, and they also tell me similar stories, and many of them are trying to help these people as much as they can. But I think it is time that the government steps in. They've been very, very silent, the Prime Minister, the ministers, and especially the Social Welfare Ministry ought to get out there, work with the NGOs and identify all those people in the containment areas that need assistance, because we want them to stay at home as much as they can.
But the government said people can dip into their superannuation, their FNPF. Isn't that a fair enough way to provide assistance?
That's the usual offering from the government, but there are thousands of people, Liam, out there who have no FNPF balances, who aren't FNPF members, and those are the people that probably need the support most. And it is quite unsatisfactory and ridiculous for government to just say, yes, we will help you through your FNPF, but as I've said, there are many people out there, and especially those who are really poor, who do not have FNPF balances, who are not even members of the FNPF, and who cannot access that assistance. So therefore, it is not asking too much at this time for the government to roll out a plan and in cooperation with the NGOs to support those and keep these people as much as possible at home if we want to arrest the spread of the virus as quickly as possible.
On the issue of FNPF, you say that it's the government's usual response to disasters, if you like, and indeed it has been the response to a number of disasters in recent years, cyclones like Winston and other disasters since. Is there a danger for people in the future when they retire that they potentially have been drawing on their FNPF every time something happens?
Obviously, Liam, and we have said this before, see, not only government is constantly asking people to help themselves. In fact, the government had asked the workers of this country to help their employers and help the government itself, because the government has reduced the contribution, the employer contribution, from 10% to 5%. So, in fact, the workers in this country, including the civil servants, have essentially taken a pay cut to support government, to support the employers. And this is going to have a serious impact on the amount of funds that would be available for them when they retire.
Biman Prasad there, leader of Fiji's opposition National Federation Party, talking there to Liam Fox. And I spoke with Dr. Akeem Ali, the acting representative for the World Health Organization in the Pacific, who says he is closely watching the lockdown response.
The immediate objective is to contain the viruses in the locations that have been identified, that we do not add additional encumbrance the supporting departments like the police and the soldiers doing security enforcement, such that we can adequately support those areas to come out of this outbreak in good shape, in quick order. Now, what the government has already made as a directive is that everywhere across the country, there should be little or no movement at all, and really only for essential services. And the way the lockdown is being implemented, you actually have a wide swath of urban conurbations and heavily populated areas currently locked down. So, and as things emerge in terms of the contact tracing within those containment areas, there are also districts that are locked down to avoid indiscriminate movements. I think a national lockdown is probably more of semantics, because what really government is doing is to ensure that each catchment area where there are risks of transmission, we are able to support communities to stay at home and not move. I think that's a good way to start, and therefore escalate as necessary or de-escalate as necessary.
With the current COVID-19 cluster in Fiji, it's believed to have started in a breach in hotel quarantine. What more do you know about how the first soldier is believed to have contracted the virus?
I know that virtually all the cases so far, probably by a few, have been linked back to that index case, as we would call it. I think it's probably safe to say that potential breaches and opportunities for breaches have been identified, and that would also inform the revision to protocols around quarantine when travel eventually resumes in Fiji.
And it was also revealed this week that soldiers had broken quarantine rules by fraternising with each other, having contact with each other. Do you have any more updates at all on that situation and how that happened?
From my end, it's important that this is not kind of like a blame hunt procedure for all of us, and that the key message about, you know, being vigilant and attentive, it needs to be reinforced. And I wouldn't pick on particular groups of occupations or professional cadres. I think it's more actually about this very important message. When you're traveling, when you're in quarantine, when you're given advice by national health authorities, be it in Fiji or anywhere else in the world where people are listening, that you follow those directives and advice to the letter.
You're saying just before at the start of that answer that, you know, blame on particular groups shouldn't necessarily be made, but ending that answer there saying how important it is to be following those protocols, of course. People in Fiji seem quite angry about the fact that these particular soldiers have broken those quarantine rules. And yet, like you say, no blame has been laid on the government or the soldiers themselves. I'm wondering who should be taking responsibility for what has happened and has led to this sort of, or has been part of this outbreak in Fiji?
I think the responsibility lies with every single one of us. The government can prepare for eventualities like this so that they can deploy all the technical response that are efficient and effective in containing any outbreak, which they've been doing so well over the last 365 days and more. The government can investigate outbreaks when they occur to try and put in all the public health measures to safeguard the community. Enforcement works to some extent. What is really quite dramatically important is when the community works with the public health leadership, with health authorities, with the government leadership to heed the advice that is given.
As the COVID-19 cases continue to rise, there does seem to be a sliver of optimism with only 2 new cases recorded yesterday. But if this outbreak does worsen, is Fiji prepared? Does it have enough within its health system, you know, enough ventilators and health items to help stem the flow of all these COVID cases?
With a fair dose of realistic optimism, the initial response to care for mild and moderate cases is being strengthened on a daily basis, and hopefully we wouldn't come to that stage. But Fiji has community isolation facilities that already stood up and are being even strengthened as we speak. I know that there's a lot of work going on to review case management protocols as well, to make sure that healthcare professionals and frontline nurses and doctors ready. Fiji has some ventilators already in hospitals and some in reserve. We as WHO and other development partners are also geared up to bringing equipment as necessary, and we have some in reserve. We are working on realistic optimism, but at the same time, being prepared for any eventualities.
That was Dr. Akeem Ali, the acting representative for the World Health Organization in the Pacific, speaking there.